Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chof Aleph. And we are going to begin on the very top line. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Sadie Berner, Lenny Berner's mother, Sarah Bas Yosef. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We are in the midst of some fascinating stories, a wonderful, wonderful time to do the Daf Yomi. The third parak in Tainis is chock full of stories. I'm going to try to still keep to the same amount of time that we have the Shiurim, but you could spend hours and hours just delving into these stories. But again, we'll try to keep this within the Daf Yomi time limit. So we begin on the very top line with a famous story between Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were chavrusas, they were great Talmidei Chachamim. We know how great Rav Yochanan was. He was the redactor of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and he's one of the premier Amarayim, the first generation Amarayim. We find him with his chavrusa, Rish Lakish throughout Shas. They're Bali Plukta, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, arguably the three greatest Amarayim. And we find now a story with Ilfa. We'll see that Ilfa was greater than Rav Yochanan, and he was a contemporary and colleague of Rav Yochanan. So here's the story. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan have a garse baraisa. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were learning together. They were chavrusas. And the chika luhu milsa tuva. But unfortunately, they were in grave financial straits. Rashi points out, the chika luhu means anios. They couldn't support themselves anymore. And they said, Amre, let's leave the Beis Medrash, nekum v'nezel, we'll go and leave the Beis Medrash and go, v'nei v'niska, and we'll go into the business world, and we'll make a parnasa. Like most people ultimately have to do. They have to leave the Beis Medrash and make a parnasa. So they said, no, it's time for us to leave the Beis Medrash and make a parnasa. And they said, unekayim benavshin, and we'll fulfill within ourselves the famous pasuk that says, efes ki lo yieh b'cho evyot, that there should be nobody in Klai Yisrael who's poor. If you're relying upon staka because you're just sitting and learning all day in the Beis Medrash, so then we're going against this pasuk that says there shouldn't be anybody in Klai Yisrael who's poor. So if there's no choice, then obviously a person can't make a parnasa, fine. But here, we could go out and make a parnasa. So we'll fulfill this pasuk ourselves that there shouldn't be aniyim in Klai Yisrael. So what did they do? Ozlu, they left the Beis Medrash, and Ovsvei Tose Guda Re'ia. And on their way going to Mistama, to a business school, or going to the market to go make a parnasa, they were next to a Guda Re'ia, a wall that was broken, a wall that was going to collapse and fall down. They sit next to this bed wall, Guda Re'ia, and Havu Kokarchi Rift, and they sat down to have lunch. They had some bread. Asu Tre Malachi Ashares, two Malachim come along and say, now, their conversation between these Malachim is heard only by Rav Yochanan and not by Ilfa. Shami Rav Yochanan, only Rav Yochanan heard, as we'll see, the Omer Chad L'Chavi, that one of these Malachim said to the other Malach, let us go, Nishde Alayu Hai Guda, let us go and collapse this broken wall, this bad wall that's going to come tumbling down in the near future anyway. Let's go and push this tumbling wall on top of these two Talmidei Chachamim and v'niktalinu, and we'll kill them because they're manichin, shemanichin chai olam. Now the gear said we have chai olam abba, but most just have the gear said shemanich chai olam, that they're leaving the real reason to exist in the world to learn Torah, boskim chai shah, and they're going out to make a parnasa. Instead of thinking about eternity, and the learning that they'll do will sustain them for eternity, they're leaving the Beis Medrash, and they're going out to go and make a parnasa. So they're leaving chai olam, or chai olam haba, they're leaving eternal life for a temporary life. So one malach said to the other, let's go and kill them, let's push the wall, this broken wall, let's go and push it down on top of them, and stop them now. I thought, Laniyaz Dati, that this is a little bit like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking Enosh from the world before he would sin, before he would go wrong. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him while he's still a tzaddik. So maybe some Malachim is saying, let's go take these two tzaddikim while they're still great tzaddikim. So Amalei, Idoch, so the other Malach says to this one, no, Shavkinu, leave them alone, don't go and kill them. Why? Because the Ika, Behu Chad, there is one of these two, doesn't say whether it's Rav Yochanan or Ilfa, the Kaimi Leshata. As Rashi explains over here, the Kaimi Leshata means Osid Lizgadel, the Ein Zman Ulamos. He's destined to be a great leader of Klai Yisrael, and now is not the time for him to die. So therefore, don't kill them both, because one of them is destined to be a great leader of Klai Yisrael. No, as I mentioned, Rav Yochanan Shama, Ilfa Lo Shama. Rav Yochanan heard this conversation between the Malachim, but Ilfa did not hear this conversation. Rav Yochanan asked Ilfa, Amalei Rav Yochanan Ilfa, no, Shamar Mar Bide, did you hear anything? In other words, he was asking Ilfa to see if he heard the conversation. Notice he calls him Mar. In other words, he's greater than him, as Rashi himself is going to point out over here, that Ilfa was greater than Rav Yochanan, right? And therefore, he asked Rav Yochanan, asked Ilfa, did the master, did you hear this? And Amalei, so Ilfa said to him, no, I didn't hear anything. Lo. So Amar Rav Yochanan said to himself, from the fact that I heard this conversation between the two Malachim, And however, the Ilfa lo shama, and for the fact that Ilfa didn't hear it, it must be that they were talking to me. Shma mino lididi kaima li shaita. And when they were saying that one of them is destined for greatness, osilis gadel, veins manolomos, they were referring to me. And therefore, they are basically giving me a message that I should go back to the base medrash and not go seek out parnasa in this world. And therefore, amalei Rav Yochanan l'Ilfa, Rav Yochanan said to Ilfa, yader, I've changed my mind. I'm going to go back. Ihadar. I am going to go back to the base medrash, and I'm not going to go into the business world. You go into the business world, but I'm not going to go into the business world. And I will fulfill the pasuk myself. Instead of Ephes, kilo yebuchai avyon, that there shouldn't be impoverished people among you, I'll fulfill a different pasuk. Kilo yechdal avyon, be care of arutz, that there should always be poor people in the world. There will never be a time when there won't be poor people. So you fulfill the pasuk, don't become poor, and I'll fulfill the pasuk, that there'll be poor people in the world. And therefore, Rav Yochanan Hadar, Rav Yochanan went back to the base of Medrash, Ilfa lo Hadar, Ilfa didn't go back to the base of Medrash. Now, before we go on with the story, there are numerous questions that we have to ask. The first one is, why didn't Rav Yochanan tell Ilfa what's going on? So the Ben Yodah brings out a beautiful idea. He says that the Malach said that only one of them was Asid Liskado, Vein Zmanu Lamus, and it's not his time to die. And if they were talking about Rav Yochanan, and since Ilfa was greater than Rav Yochanan, so that would mean that the only way that Rav Yochanan could become the God of Ladar would be if Ilfa died. So therefore, if he had told Ilfa, come back also to the Beis Medrash, and Ilfa had listened and come back, Ilfa would have had to die in order for Rav Yochanan to become greater than Ilfa. This way, with Ilfa going out to the world, Rav Yochanan could naturally become greater than Ilfa, and it wouldn't cause Ilfa to die. And that's why he explains Rav Yochanan didn't tell Ilfa what the story was. Unbelievable interpretation. Now, a couple of other questions. How could they understand underneath this kosher rule? We just learned in yesterday's Gemara, you're not allowed to place yourself in a mokum sakana. So the answer to that is simple. The Bino Yohu, which is a Sefer Ben Yoyoda in his commentary, the Bino Yohu, so he writes down that it didn't appear to be a dangerous wall, and therefore they were able to stay there. Why then did the Malachim take this opportunity to try to kill them? At least the first Malach said to the other Malach, and that's because when you leave the Torah world, so you're losing the protection of Torah, and therefore now they're susceptible to the normal dangerous things in the world, and this would have been enough of a danger for them if the Malach had been successful in doing this. They would no longer have had the protection of Torah that normally would have saved them from this. Who are these two malachim? So the Mefarsh should bring down, these are the two malachim that escort somebody. The Maharsha says, these are the two malachim. They come home with you on a Friday night and say, it's good. So the other malach says, amen. And the malach that's bad says, it should be like this next week. And the malach that's good says, amen. He's forced to say this. These are the two malachim that follow a person around and always give them advice. And he points out from the Keren Ora that Nesama, the malach on the right, was the one that said that he was limeid chus on Klai Yisrael, and the one on the left is the one that wants to go and cause trouble. So here too, there was a Malach on the right that said, leave them alone and don't cause trouble for them. Now, the Marshal also points out that since they were by this Kosel Ra'uah, suddenly Hiski Rab was saying, when you put yourself in a dangerous situation, all of a sudden in Shemayim they judge you, do you have the merits to get out of such a dangerous situation or not? And that's why I had the conversation between the two Malachim, that yes, he does have the merits to get out of this, Asid Lihi Gadel, and now is not the time for him to die. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, so now Rav Yochanan goes back to Beis Medrash, and Ilfa goes out to work. So Adiasi Ilfa, Ilfa ultimately returns. He makes Parnasa, he comes back to Beis Medrash. Malach Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan becomes the head of the yeshiva. He becomes the Rosh Yeshiva. So Rashi says, Mineo Rosh Yeshiva Aleim. And therefore, he also became wealthy, Rashi says, because it was a minog, just like the Kohen Gadol had to be greater than all the others. So they would give him money to make him greater in every way. So too they gave Rav Yochanan money so he could become greater than all the other people, not only in Torah learning, but also in wealth. So Amrulo, the people said to Ilfa when he returned, they said, now the Tosus learns this two different ways, we'll see in a second. And the first gear is, I asiv mar vigoris, if you had stayed here and had learned, rather than going into the business world, lo havi molech mar. So the first way Tosus learns this is that this is a lashon of bismia, that wouldn't you have been the one to be the leader? Alternatively, you learn it as a straightforward statement, that if you had stayed here to learn, there's no way they would have appointed Rav Yochanan, you would have been greater than Rav Yochanan. So Rashi points out, he was greater than Rav Yochanan, and therefore, ilf havi gomir tfeini Rav Yochanan. He knew how to learn better than Rav Yochanan, and if he had stayed, he would have been the Rosh Shiva. Ilfa was not happy about this. Ilfa says, I went out to the business world, but I didn't stop learning. Ozal tolha nafshe Ilfa went out to prove that he still was as great as he was beforehand, and he tola nafshe, tola is a lotion of leaning on, Rashi says elsewhere, or it's a lotion of hanging on. So he went up to the mast of a ship, ba'askarya disfinosa, he went up to the big sail, the mast of a ship, and he hung himself in there, or he leaned on it, and he said, Omar, if there's anybody over here that can ask me from a brice of Rechi Roshaya. Also, we learned that the brices of Rechi Roshaya are the most authentic brices. They didn't make it into the codification of the Mishnayis by Rebbe, but Rechi and Roshaya were Tamidim of Rebbe, and these were the most authentic brices. So if you can point out to me a brice of Rechi Roshaya, and below Pashtina lay Mimastisa, and I can't show you why Rebbe didn't put it in the Mishnayis, because it already was in the Mishnayis, that's why he didn't include it. The Brises are extra, they're outside. They didn't need to be put inside because everything was included in the Mishnayis. So if you can find me a Brisa that I can't find to you, where in the Mishnah it says the exact same thing as the Brisa, Nafilna Meyaskaria de Svina, the Tavara. I will jump off, I will fall down from this mast of this boat, and I will drown. Now, how is he allowed to do this? You're not like commit suicide. So the Ben Yoyada, in his classical understanding, says that Ilfa specifically went to a boat mast. And he didn't go up to a tall building. He didn't go up to a mountain and say, I'll jump off this mountain, and because he would have died if he was proven not to be able to find the source of the brises in the Mishnayis. But he went up to the post of a boat's mast. And he jumped in. He said, I will jump into the water if, in fact, I can't explain where the Brice is located in the Mishnah. And that's because he was an expert diver. So the Ben Yehuda says he wouldn't have committed suicide. He would have been embarrassed, maybe. He would have had to jump into the water, but he was an expert diver. And therefore, the Ben Yehuda says that's why he didn't go up onto a tall building. He went up bedavka onto the mast of the ship to jump into the water. And again, an amazing shot. In his commentary, the Ben Yehuda says an additional thing. He says, Ilfa is a lashon of a svina. Ilfa means a boat. And therefore, is a remes shaholach l'svina. He said, I'm going to a boat, to the mast of a boat. Shumakumayim. Boats are in water. And water is a reference to Torah. So he says, Av shaholach l'schora. Even though I went out to the business world, mikomokum lo ozav es ha-Torah. I was on my boat. I was in the water. I was learning the whole time. And therefore, since the Torah is mine, he says, Adayin hu mamshich laso kozman b'Torah. Kisvina shidim says kozman mine. Just like a boat's always in the water, so too, I was always in the business world. I was still learning Torah all the time. Amazing. Now, Asa Hausaba. Now, Tosus elsewhere says Hausaba always means Eliyahu, although not 100%, but certainly it could be that this was Eliyahu, and many of them Farshim understand this is Bedavka Eliyahu coming to tell him, because as we'll see, why did he pick Bedavka his Brisa? It was to make sure that Ilfa understood that even though he may be still greater than Rav Yochanan was the one that was appointed, and don't go make them regret that they appointed Rav Yochanan, and therefore that's why Bedavka, as we'll see, this Brisa was chosen, and the answer that Ilfa gave would Ilfa would realize that leave things the way they are and let Rav Yochanan still be the Rosh Hashiva. In any event, along comes Ha'usaba, this older man, Eliyahu HaNavi, Osa Ha'usaba, Tonalei, he asked him the following brisa and says, where's the source for this in the Mishnayis? And he brings down a brisa about Yerusha. It says, Ha'omer, Tenu Shekel Lebonai B'Shabbos. Rashi explains over here that we're dealing with Mishamei, somebody that Nebuch passed away, v'niach mamona b'yadish nemon, and he puts the estate into the hands of a trusted friend, the Yomer, and he said to this trusted friend, after I die, tenu shekel, which is a chatzi sela, give a shekel, which is half of a sela, libanai, to sustain my children, lo tzor b'shavua, for each week, in order that they should be supported. Now, the Gemara says, Pain Ruyin, Los Islam Sela. They really needed a Sela, which was twice as much. A shekel was all he said, tenu shekel, but they really needed a full Sela, two shkolim. So what's the din? So this trusted guardian knows the lamb seller. He gives them a seller. Because, as we'll see, the father just wanted to be mizaris them to go out and be careful and to learn and to work and to not waste money. But he told them, I'm giving you a shekel, but he really meant to give them a seller, two shkolim. So again, if the father who ultimately passed away says to his trusted friend, the guardian, give them a shekel lebanai, but they really need, so the din is no salam sela. The guardian gives them each a sela. However, the Omar, al titnu lehem el shekel, if the father, before he passed away, tells the trusted guardian, don't give them more than a shekel, then that's what he means. And then, in that situation, ain no salam el shekel, then you're only allowed to give them a shekel. Now, if he said, Omar, Mesu, if and when my children die, Yushu Acherim Tachtem, I want so-and-so to go and inherit whatever's left over for my estate. In that situation, he clearly wants something to be left over. Bein Shamar Tnu, whether he said the first lotion of give them a shekel, Bein Shamar Altitnu Elo Shekel, then in that situation, you're not allowed to give them more than the shekel, Einostim Elo Shekel, you're not allowed to give them, even in the first case, where he said Tnu, to give them the Tushkolim, to give them the Sela. Now, this is the Brisa that Eliyahu Navi brought down. So he asked Ilfa, where is this found in the Mishnah? So immediately Ilfa knows the answer. Amalei, Hamani, he says, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Meir, the Omar, Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMeis. You're obligated to go and fulfill what the Meis said. And therefore, you know what the Meis wanted, and therefore in each of these three scenarios, you're doing what the Meis asked for, and not because of any other reason. And this was, again, some understand this, and Eliyahu was telling Ilfa, this is what the nation wanted, that Rav Yochanan should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So even though you may still be greater than Rav Yochanan, it is Rav Yochanan's time, and Ilfa, so to say, backed off. We don't find anything else about Ilfa trying to restore his position as the leading sage of Klal Yisrael. Again, a fascinating story, much more to be said, but we have to go by it. Next story is even more amazing if possible. Amru Alav al Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu is one of the most notable, great characters in the Gemara. And he was such a pure tzaddik, he was lamala min ateva, as we'll see. So they said about Nochem Ish Gamzu, why was he called Ish Gamzu? Because he constantly said Gamzu Latova, and it's a play on his words. He came from a place called Gimzu. So he was Nochem from Gimzu, and he was ultimately known as Gamzu Latova. Now, there are many people that always say, this should be, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, Gamzu Latova, Gamzu Latova, Gamzu Latova. So why was he, Bedavka, known to be like this? As we'll see from the story, because he took this to the nth degree. He practiced this more than anybody else from the stories that we'll see. So, he was known as Nochem Gamzu Latova, Ish Gamzu. He came from a place, Gamzu, and he always said Gamzu Latova. In any event, so the first story that we have is later in his life. Shahaya Suma Mishtei Yodav. He was blind in both of his eyes, Nebuch. Gidein Mishtei Yodav. He was amputated in both of his hands, Nebuch. Kiteya Mishtei Raglav. He had both of his legs amputated. Imagine this. He's blind. He has no hands. He has no feet. But called Gufa Mali Shlin. And in addition, his whole body is filled with abscesses, with boils, with Shlin. And he lived in a very dangerous house, a house that was about to collapse. And the bed that he's lying on, the legs of that bed had to be placed in water, as Rashi says, because, as the word says, Kadesh lo yalu olav nemolim, Rashi says he wouldn't have hands to go and take off these insects, these little ants that would go up in his body, so they had to put the legs of the bed in water so the ants couldn't get up the bed, and Nebuch, he wouldn't be able to go and get rid of those ants. That's the situation that Nochem Ish Gamzu is in. Tamachas, one time, he's living in this house of his that's about to fall down, and Talmidim want to take him out of there. So Bikshu Talmid, the Lefanos, Mitaso, to take him out of the house because it looks like it's going to fall down. So they first wanted to take him out. Any good fireman will tell you, you go into a house that's dangerous, you take all the people out. And afterwards, you see if it's safe, you go back and take out any furniture, any belongings there. So V'achakach, Lefanos is a Caleb. They would first take out the people, and then see if it's safe to go back inside and take out all the utensils inside the house. But he said differently. Nochem Ish Gamzu said, Bonai, he said, my children, Panu es hakelim, first take out all my possessions. He wasn't poor. As we'll see from the next story, we'll see the end of this story, he wasn't poor. He was a wealthy person, possibly. V'achakach panu es mitos. He says, first take out all my possessions, and only afterwards take me out on my bed. Why? Shemuvtach lochem, you should rest assured. You don't have any concerns. Kolz man sheni b'bayis, as long as I'm in the house, Ein habayis nofel. The house will not fall down. Now, how could he possibly do this? We have a rule we just learned today already, and we learned it yesterday's year. You're not allowed to put yourself in a place of sakana. So here's where we see the greatness of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Whereas we were concerned yesterday that a person could use up his zechusim if he puts himself into such a situation, that's for even a great tzaddik, but a normal person. Nochem Ish Gamzu was so great, he was lamala min ateva. He had zero concerns about this. It's not going to happen to me. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. I do not deserve to die in this dilapidated house. He was a tzaddik gomor. And therefore, he says, there's no way this house is going to collapse on me. Nothing just happens by circumstance, happenstance. Everything happens with a purpose. And I will not die in this house because he was such a great tzaddik, as we'll see from this story. And therefore, the Talmidim listened to him. Pinu esai kelim. They took away the kelim from the house. They took away everything, all the utensils of the house. And only afterwards, v'achakach pinu es mitaso. Then they took him out on his bed, and immediately the house fell down, as he exactly had said would happen. Amru Tamid, the Tamidim say, now, the Mepharshim explain, they see the Rebbe was such a great person. So they said, Rebbe, we now see that you clearly are a Tzadik Gomor. So Lomo also kach. How come you are in this horrible situation where you're blind and you're a double amputee on your arms and you're a double amputee on your legs? And the Ben Yehuda answers, he says, why did they ask this beforehand? So until now, they didn't realize he was a Tzadik Gomor. They said, no, he must be in this blind and amputated state because of some sin that he had done. And therefore, okay, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch did. This is a kapara in this world, so he'll enjoy a nitzchias, an eternal world in Olam Haba of all great things. And he's getting paid back in this world for any iniquities that he had done. And now that they saw he's with Tzadik Gomor, that he was telling him, no, don't worry about the house falling down. I'm not worried about losing Zichus. I'm not worried about anything. It just will not happen. So he saw he's with Tzadik Gomor. So he said, how could a Tzadik Gomor be in the state that you're in? That's what the Ben Yehuda says. Clearly, the Ben Yehuda says, it wasn't because he was a sinner that this happened to him. So they said, Lama also, kakach, why are you in this situation? So I'm a lamb. So Noachem Ish Gamsu tells him, this is why. Banai, ani garamti liatzmi, I caused this for myself. And again, when you're on the level of Noachem Ish Gamsu, even chut asari, even the slightest thing, if we had done what he'd done, we'd all be high-fiving and say, we're unbelievably great tzaddikim for doing what Noachem Ish Gamsu did. And yet, on his madrega, he felt that he did something wrong. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hit the stone, instead of talking to it, if I hit a stone and water comes out, I must be the greatest tzaddik in the world. And yet when Moshe Rabbeinu did it, he was held accountable. So too, Noachem Ish Gamsu felt on his madrega that he didn't do it as well as he should have in this story. Now what's the story? He said, I caused this to myself. One time, I was going to my father-in-law's house, and I was loaded down with all sorts of good stuff to bring to my father-in-law. And I had with me three donkeys carrying all sorts of delicacies. One was food. One was drink. One was other sorts of delicious stuff. And there was a poor person that came up to me and asked me, he stopped me on the road and said, please, Rabbi, he said, please give me some food. Now, what he should have done afterwards, he says to himself, I should have had food ready. I should have thought ahead and said, in case an oni comes, I better have something to give him right away. Now, nobody thinks like that, except the great, 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 great tzaddik. I would have thought, I got plenty of food here. If an oni comes, I'll give him some food, which is exactly what Noachem Ish Gamsu did. So he told him, Omar Tilo, he told this poor person, give me a minute, I'll get all my stuff. I'll give you all the food you want. I got plenty of food here. Give me a second, I'll get it all for you, and I'll give it to you. But lo, his spakti lefrok min achamar, this poor person was such distraught situation, he was so starving that he didn't even have a few minutes left to live because he was starving so much that Noachem Ish Gamsu could take the food off the chamar. So before he could even give him the food, it took him 10 seconds, a minute, how long did it take? Nebuch, the poor person died. And Noachem Ish Gamsu felt terrible. He said, on my madrega, I should have known better. None of us would have said it was a sin. On his madrega, he felt he was accountable. Halachti v'nafalti upon him. And he went over to the poor Nebuch dead person, and he fell on his face, and he said, v'yomarti, and he said, einai, my eyes shalo chosu aleinecha, that didn't have mercy on your eyes, yisomu, should become blind. And that's what happened. Yodai, my hand shalo chosu yadecha, that didn't have mercy on your hands, yisgadmu, should be cut off. And that's what happened. Raglai, my feet, shalo chosu raglecha, my feet that didn't have mercy on your feet, I didn't run fast enough to get you food, yiskatu, they should be cut off as well. And even with all of that, he still wasn't appeased. He didn't feel like he had done enough tshuva. The lonis karadaiti, he wasn't satisfied. He still felt that he had done not enough. And therefore he said, Atcha Marti, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kogufi, Yehei Molei Shchin, fill up my body with all sorts of boils, abscesses, pus, and in this way I can seek an atonement in this world. Amrlo, the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Oy Lonu, Sherinuchoch Bekach. Now, the simple understanding is what I'll say first, and then I'll give you an amazing shot as well for the Ben Yoda. He says, Oy lanu sherinucha b'kach, woe is us that we have to see you in such distress. That's a simple understanding. And Amalam, he says to them, Oy li, it would be much worse for me, im lo risuni b'kach. If this didn't happen to me, I would be held accountable. And therefore, I would suffer in the world to come much better than I suffer in this world. And therefore, it's good for me that you should see me like this. That's a simple understanding. But the Ben Yod in his commentary, Ben Yoho, says an amazing thing. He says that these Talmidim now had a shiver run through their spine. They said, if this is the way you get treated, oy vavoy to us, that we see you in this state, you're a Tzadik Gomor, and you're suffering this much for some unbelievably small little thing that you did, So oy vavoy to us, and that's why they said, woe is to us that we see you in such a state. Oy lanu shirinucha bekach, because now we see what's going to happen to us, because we are certainly nowhere near the way you are, and if you're punished this way, oy vavoy, what's going to happen to us? I should point out that the Yerushalmi has a slightly different version of the story, and here in our Bavli, this sin quote that Nochem Ish Gamzu said was, he said, Hamtein ad she'afruk min hachabar. Wait a second until I go and unload from the donkey. So that's a split second or two, a very short period of time. So to make things a little bit maybe more understandable, the Yerushalmi has the girsa that he didn't say, wait for me just a second until I unload it. He said, please wait until I bring this to my father-in-law. Wait, yamtin ad she'achzor mi beis chomov. And ukishchaza, when he returned, matzu mei. So that would be really a little bit more understandable. Maybe it was 15 minutes away. He said, let me just go there, drop off the food, and I'll bring you back something. So that's a little bit more understandable what he did possibly wrong. In any event, this is the great Nochem Ish Gamzu, why he suffered such terrible yisurim. Now, v'amai karule Nochem Ish Gamzu, why was he known as Nochem Ish Gamzu? Again, we came from the place Gamzu or Gimzu, so that's not the real reason. He was called because Gamzu Lutova, Gamzu Lutova. So the Gemara says, the kol milsa, the havisolkele, Amar Gamzu Letova. No matter what happened to him, he said Gamzu Letova. Now everybody, again, as I said, should be saying this, but the idea is that most people say this, when a terrible thing happens, it's okay, new, it should be a kapara, new, it should be good for me in the future. Nochem Ish Gamzu realized it was good for him right now. And he meant Gamzu Letova, right now I can see that this is good for me, even though nobody else can say that this is good for me right now. Now, here's another unbelievable story about Nochem Ish Gamzu. Simne Chodha, this is a very famous story. One time, Bo Lishaduri Yisrael Dorin Lebeis Kesar. The Jews wanted to send a gift to the Caesar, Lebeis Kesar, to the house of the Caesar. Mu Mistama, there was a decree against them, and he was going to abolish it if they bribed him, or just want to give him a present to stay on his good side. So they said, who should go deliver this? Who's trustworthy and will be successful and won't get waylaid in any way to deliver the present? So Amru, they said, Man Yezel, who should go? Oh, Yezel Nochem Ish Gamzu, the Melumad Benisin Hu. We should send it with Nochem Ish Gamzu by himself. We don't have to send anybody else with it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it, and no trouble will happen to him. He's used to having miracles occur to him all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us and protect him to bring our gift to the Caesar and get whatever benefit we need from giving the gift to the Caesar. Nope, that's what they said, and that's what they did. Shadru Biyadei, they gave him in his hand. Now, I may be reading too much into this, but they gave it to his hand. I'm guessing that this story was before the Maisa where he became, unfortunately, an amputee. But it's possible that it's afterwards. I don't know for sure. In any event, Shadru Biyadei, they gave it to his hands, Melo Sifto de Abonim. A Sifto is a chest, an argaz, and they put him a chest full of Anvonim Tovos, of pearls and diamonds, or Margolios, all sorts of precious jewels. Incidentally, I just reminded myself, Ben Yada also said before, when he was asking that Kosh Baruch Hu make him blind and an amputee, why didn't he say, well, this poor person is poor, why don't you make him poor as well? So again, the Ben Yada says a brilliant idea. He says, if he becomes poor, so then he has to be supported by everybody else. So that's not suffering for him, that's suffering for everybody else, that they have to now support him. So therefore, he didn't ask the Kosh Baruch Hu to take away his money. So Mustama, he was well enough off that he could support himself and have people take care of him, and this way he didn't fall upon society and become a burden upon society. No, in any event, they send him off with all this precious jewels and diamonds and jewelry to go bring to the king. Avonim Tovos or Margolios. They sent him with this chest filled with precious diamonds, precious gems. Azel, he goes. Bus means he slept over. Bahaudira, he stayed over at a certain inn. You know, the innkeeper is going to be lousy and bad, and that's exactly what happened. Belelya, that night, the innkeeper knows that he has this huge chest filled with diamonds and jewels. Kamu Hanoch Diorai, they came and they stole it from him. The Shakalinu Lisifte, they stole his chest, they took out all the diamonds, Umilunu Afra, and they filled it up with dirt. Now, some are Goris Nekwars or not. I'll explain why you're Goris, I'll explain why you're not. Lamachar Kichazinu, the next morning he opens up the chest, according to the Girsa that we have, that it should be here. And Armor Gamzu Letova, the fact that there was dirt in there didn't faze him at all. He said, this is also Gamzu Letova. He was sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care of everything, according to the version that you are Goris this. So he saw it right now, didn't bother him at all. He said, what does it make if there's jewels in there? It doesn't make if there's diamonds there. We'll see a story upcoming in a couple of days with Chanim and Dosa, the same thing. When he lit vinegar and his daughter was upset, she said, I forgot to put in oil, I put in vinegar. He said, big deal, what does it make? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make vinegar light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make oil light. So again, Nochem Ish Gamzu said, It's not the jewels that are going to get us whatever we need from the Caesar. It's the fact that we're doing this, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So therefore, the fact that I bring him dirt or I bring him jewels, it won't make any difference. That's the Amunah. Nochamish Gamzu said, Gamzu Latova. This, it doesn't faze me at all. According to others, if he saw there was dirt there, how could he possibly go and bring it? So they're not Goris, it's over here. They say it belongs later on. In any event, he brings this chest of now dirt to the king. Kimot Osam, when he gets to the king, to the Caesar, Shirinu Lesifta, they open up the chest and they see that it's not filled with diamonds. Chazinu Demalu Afra. They see that it's filled up with dirt. Now, boy, oh boy, is the king not happy. The Caesar is very, very unhappy with this. Boy, Malka, Lemiktalinu, Lekulu. The king wants to come and go kill Kulu, meaning all of Klai Yisrael. He says the chutzpah of these people, that this is the gift that they're giving me, they're asking me for whatever they're asking me for, and they give me a box of dirt. And the emperor said, the Caesar said, Omar, Komachayach will be you died. They're making fun of me. They're laughing at me by sending me such a box full of dirt. However, Nochamish Gamzu said, Omar, Gamzu Latova. Somebody said it to himself, he didn't say it out loud. And he said, Gamzu Latova. Again, according to others, now is where you have that sentence that we took out before. You put it over here. Now, Os Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi comes, Idmele Kechad Minayu, he goes and dresses up, so to say, as one of the Roman courtiers. And therefore, they assume that he's another person there in the court. And Amale, Eliyahu tells him all, he tells to the Caesar, Dilma, maybe Ha'afra, Me'afra, the Avram Avunu. Oh, maybe this is the famous dirt that their great-great-great-great-grandfather, Avram Avinu, used in his battle against the five kings. When the four kings fought the five kings, and Avram Avinu went to go and fight, the Chihavi Shod de Afra, when he threw this dirt at the enemy, so Havu Saifi, it turned, the dirt turned into swords. A Saif is a sword. And Gile, when he threw, Rashi says, Gile is Kash, he threw straw at them, so the straw turned into Havagiri, it turned into arrows. So maybe this is that same, quote, magical dirt that their great-great-grandfather Avram Avinu used. As the Pasuk says, this is the Haftorah from Parshas Lech Lecha, which was the story in Lech Lecha of the four kings versus the five kings. So it says in the Haftorah of Lech Lecha, the Ksiv, Yitain Kelfar Karbo, that the dirt turned into a cherub, into a sword. Kikash Nidof, the kash turned into kashto, like into an arrow, the lebo and arrow. So therefore, that's what Eliyahu told him. Ooh, maybe this is that magical dirt. Now, they had a certain country that they were just simply unable to conquer. The Romans, the Caesar, could not conquer that country. So they said, let's try this dirt out against that country and see if we're victorious. But so they did it. And they were victorious and they won. Oh, they are in seventh heaven. The Caesar is so happy. He goes into his storehouse. He takes that same box of dirt, empties it out, uses the dirt. The Mefarshim explained that he either the dirt then got lost or he used up all the dirt, because if the dirt didn't ever work in the future, so then they would have come back to Klai Yisrael and said, hey, you guys gave us a fake product. Even though it worked once, they're going to say, no, you did something to it. So either the dirt got lost or they used it up. In any event, they take the empty box now and they fill it up with diamonds. Umalua Lesifte, they take this empty chest, they emptied out all the, quote, magic dirt, and they fill it up with, from the storehouse of the Caesar, Avonim Tovus Margolis, they refill it with all the precious diamonds and jewels and gems, and they send Nochamish Gamzu back to the Jewish people to go and give back all their diamonds and gems. They didn't know that they originally brought diamonds and gems, they thought they just brought the dirt, but now they're willing to pay for the dirt with all these diamonds and gems. Vishadrua Biakara Rabba. And they send him back in great fanfare. They send him back with a whole entourage to make sure he's safe, that nobody should go and attack him and steal his diamonds and gems. Nope. There's halacha that you always stay at the same place where you went on the way there. You should come and stay at the same place on the way back. So Kiyasu, when he was returning back to Klai Yisrael, Bisu Baudiura, they again stayed overnight. Bisu is a lashon of sleeping overnight. Baudiura in the same inn where that horrible innkeeper was. And again, the Mefarshim bring down, they had a whole honor guard with him. Ki Asu, when all of them came, so he's with his whole honor guard. So Amulei, so the owners of that inn said, whoa, my Isis, Bahadoch, whoa, what did you do to deserve such an honor guard that you're coming back with such fanfare? The Avli Lochi Karu Kulihai, that they should go and treat you in such a fancy way. What did you do? So Amulei, Nochamish Gamzu said nothing, I didn't do anything. My Deshak Limihocha, Amati Lasa, whatever I had when I came here, that's what I took with me when I went over there. So they therefore assumed that he outsmarted them, that he was only too happy to give them the gold and the jewels so he could get their dirt, because they really assumed that he knew that the dirt was magical dirt, and they didn't realize it was sitting on this treasure of all this dirt. So they immediately sasru l'dirayu, they knocked down their entire hotel, the entire inn that they had, to get more dirt, and they brought boxes and boxes of this dirt, v'amtinu l'vei malka, and they brought it to the king, to the Caesar. And then the lady said to him, hey, that dirt that Nachum Ish Kabbos brought, that was our dirt. I offered the icy hocha mididanu. He took our dirt. He's taking credit for it, but that was all of our dirt. No, they checked it out. No, if you're telling us the truth, we'll make amends. But if you're not telling us the truth, we'll see what happens. So Batkua, so they checked out, does this dirt throw swords, and does the kash throw arrows, and the loashkechu, and it didn't do anything. So what did they do? Because linu lahanach dioroi, and they killed the owner of the hostel, of the inn, the people that were living there. They went and killed them for lying and trying to falsely bring this present to the king and trying to get away with incorrect present that they were trying to give to the king. So the Mefarshim bring down, not only did they die, but they also destroyed their own house in the process of doing so. And this was, again, a very fitting ending to their horrific attempt to go and shter for the Jewish people this present to the Caesar. So much more to be said, but already I see I'm already going way too long, so we'll go weiter. We call it the Mishnah, Ezu Dever, Ir Hamotziyah, Chamesh Mils Ragli B'chulei. We said, what's the definition of Dever? It's when a city of 500 people, 500 healthy young men, 500 soldiers, has three people dying one day, one day, one day, three consecutive days. The Brisa says, Tanu Rabbanon, Ir Hamotziyah, Chamesh Mils Ve'alif Ragli. If a city has 1,500 people, for example, Kigmon, Kfar Akko, name of a certain city, V'yatzu emenu tisho meisim b'shloshu yom zachazeh. And if three people die on day one, three people die on day two, three people die on day three, hareza dever, that's also dever. As I pointed out when we did the Mishnah, it's proportionate. So the size of the city will determine the number of people that have to die each day in order to be called the mark of dever. B'yom echa, but if all nine people died on the same day, oh, but dal yom, it took 4 days to die, so eza dever. That's not called this mark of dever that you'd be masrin for. The Brisa continues, says, if you have a city that only has 500 men, so then, Kagon, Kfar Amiko, like the city known as Kfar Amiko, so then, the Yatsu men are Shlosh and Mason, Begimu Yamim, Zachazet. Then, if one person dies day one, one person dies day two, one person dies three, Hareza Dever. That is also called a Maka of Dever. The Mefarshim will ask, why didn't they give an example of a city with 1,000 people and say how many people would have to die in that period of time? There would be two each day for 3 days, so two for a total of six. So the Mefarshim answer, because they wanted in this situation to just give real practical examples. And in this situation, there were these two cities, Kfar Akko, and also you had Kfar Amiko, that had 1,500 people and 500 people respectively. So that's why they gave those examples. They didn't give an example of 1,000 people and two. Now we turn to Chaf Aleph Omebeis, and if they'd all died B'yom Echad, or B'arba Yomim, they all died the same day, or they died over 4 days, again, Ein Zedever, that's not called the Mark of Dever. Mark continues and gives us some more stories. Duro Karit, that was the name of a certain city that was in Bavel. Ir HaMotziyah Chamesh Mios Ragli Haba, it was a city that had 500 men in it. V'yotzu Mimenu, Shlosh Mesim B'yom Echad, and three people died on one day. Now that's not what we said. So therefore, one would assume that this is not a Mark of Dever. Nevertheless, Gozer Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista Tanisa. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista was Gozer Tanis in this situation, even though that seems to go against what we just said. On Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kiman, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, who does this go according to that you did this? He says, oh, Ki Rabbi Meir D'Omar, you must be going like the opinion of Rav Meir. What did Rav Meir say? Richek Negichosov Chayev. So he said, when you have a shor shenogach, if you want to make a shor into a shor muad, it has to go and gore three times before it's called a shor muad. Until then, it's a shor tam. Now, the din is, based upon the fact that the pasuk tells us, mitmol shulshom, so therefore, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that it has to gore 3 days in a row. Otherwise, it's not called a shor muad. If it gores 3 days at once, and something unusual happened, that doesn't make it into a shor muad. It has to gore day one, it has to gore day two, it has to gore day three. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't gore all over 3 days, it's not considered shomuad. If you gore three times in the same one day, something incited it, and that doesn't make it to shomuad. Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir says, and that's what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, don't get confused with two Rav Nachmans. First one is Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, and the second one is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, this is like Rav Meir, who says that no, if a shor is goring on 3 days, it's called a shomuad. Allah has kama v'kama. If it gores on one day, it certainly is a shomuad. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista was so impressed with this that Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no, come live with us. Leikomar Leisi Legabon, come live with us. You live in a small city where the people don't necessarily appreciate, they're not so chashuv, and they don't appreciate Torah learning. No, come to our city. We will love to have you learn with us. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said back to him, Amalei Tanina, that's not the right approach that one should have. He said, the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is lo mekomo shel adam mechabdo, el adam mechabi is mekomo, that it's not the place that is mechabi the person, but it's the person that's mechabi the place. And where do you see this from? Two stories. Shekein matzino by Arsinai, we find by Arsinai, shekos man shashchino shiruya alav, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was on Arsinai, you're not allowed to go up on Arsinai. Amar Torah, the Torah tells us, kamatzom v'yabakor ayu el mul harhu, even the animals, the goats and the sheep and the cattle, are not allowed to go up onto the mountain and graze on the mountain. But immediately, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves Har Sinai, Nistalko Shechino Mimenu, so the Torah tells us, Amar Torah, Bimsho Chayovel, when they blow the shofar, signifying that it's over, Hey, Miyala Bahar, everybody's allowed to go up on the mountain. So you see, it's not Har Sinai that's in and of itself, it's a special place. It's the Shechino was there, that's what made it special. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, the fact that I would go to you, it's not, that's what makes it special. It's the people that are there that make it special, and not the fact that that place is special. And he gives another example. We find the same thing by the Mishkan in the Midbar, the Almoid in the Midbar. They calls man, she calls man, she who not toy, while it was standing up. Amr Torah tells you, a person who is a tzeruah or a zov, or a Tommy Mays, is not allowed to go into various encampments of Chaisel. They have to stay out of the Machna Kahuna, Machna Elviya, Machna Yisro, depending on what type of tumah that they had. However, who glalu aparoches, as soon as they rolled up the paroches, in other words, when they broke down the Omoed and they went to one of the Masuos, they moved. So all of a sudden, that same exact place where 10 minutes ago they couldn't go, they're allowed to go there. So you see clearly, it's not the place that gives it the cover. It's the fact that the Shechin is there, that the fact that there's Kiddush over there, it gives it cover, and not the place. So therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, I'm not going to go to you. There's nothing special about your place. It's the Torah that's important. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista wanted so much to be with Rav Nachman Yitzchak. He said, okay, if you don't come to me, I'll come to you. I'm like, Yehochi, Nekom Ano, Ligabi Mar. So I'll go move to you. So I'm like, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says back to him, no. Mutav Yavo Mona ben Pras, Eitzel Mona ben Mona, Va Yavo Mona ben Mona, Eitzel Mona ben Pras. Now, this is a very problematic statement, but I'll give you the simple title for it, which is the way that Rashi and Tosfos both understand this. And that is, he said to Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. Notice the names over here. Rav Nachman, who was the son of Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, just Stam Yitzchak, said to Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, I am only the son of a non-Talmud Chacham. I'm a Mona, which is a hundred, who's the son of a Pras, which is a half. Pras means a half, or a portion, a part. And therefore, it makes more sense that the person who's a Mona ben Pras, I'm Rav Nachman bar just plain Yitzchak, should come to you, should go to the Mona ben Mona, the Rav, the Mona, who's the son of a Rav, a Mona, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. It makes more sense that I should go to you, rather than you, who's the rabbi, the son of a rabbi, should come to me, the rabbi, the son of a person who's not a rabbi. That's a simple understanding of this. That's the way Rashi and Tosfos both understand this. But it's problematic because it's a little bit of a lack of kibud of aim to say that your father is a pras, your father is a half, and he's not a full person. So there are two other interpretations over here. One is that he's just talking about financial. He wasn't talking about Torah learning. He says it's not proper that I, a person who is a wealthy person, I have a mana, coming from less than a great financial background, should take you, come to me, a person with great financial background, coming from a great financial background. So it's more appropriate that I, the nouveau riche, should go to you, who's a well-established rich person, rather than the other way around. So this way, he's not knocking his father. The fact that his father's $100 or $100,000, that's not a knock on his father. That's unimportant. To say his father's not a Talmud Chacham, that would be a little bit of a problem. So that's why they dash it this way. Alternatively, they say, Rav Nachman was talking about himself. I am not as learned as you. I'm a mana, but I come from a pras. In other words, I don't have the same abilities as you do in learning. So I may have something over here that's a mana, but my full understanding of it is only from a pras. As you're a mana ben mana. You have a full understanding. You're Oker Harim and Sinai. You're both. You have vast knowledge, and you're able to go and assess and evaluate it, whereas I may only have half of that, and therefore it's more appropriate that I come to you. Okay. Another story. Besura, in the city of Sura, Havas Divarta, there was Deber, Rashi says Divarta is Deber, there was a plague. And it was Bishivuse de Rav, Lo Havas Divarta. But in the neighborhood where Rav lived, there was no plague at all. Now, everybody said, Sovereign name, Bishivus Chusi de Rav, Nofish. It must be the fact that there's no plague here is because Rav lived over here, and that's why there's no plague. However, it appeared to all the people in the dream that it wasn't because of Rav. Rav, while he was unbelievably great, didn't need to have this miracle happen. Rav, the Nefisha, Zuchusei Tuva, he was so great, Hamilsa Zutrole L'Rav. This would have been nothing for this to occur because of Rav. The Mefarshim understands more deeply, and you can see this in my Sefer Women in the Talmud. I discuss all these stories that have women involved in them in some way. So we'll see in the next case, there was a woman that did something. So in any event, so I discuss this over there, the idea that Rav, and we'll see in the next story of Huna, they were great enough to deserve a miracle to happen for themselves that would be an exclusive miracle. So Rav would have been able to survive on his own, even though there was a contagious plague. There was COVID there. Rav was so great that he wouldn't get infected by COVID, no matter that everybody else was infected by COVID. There's nobody in the world today like that. So Rav, the Nefesh Zechusi Tuva, was so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a miracle for him personally, as opposed to other people who are great. Hashem still won't make a miracle for them personally, so he'll have to make the miracle for the whole neighborhood. And that's what happened over here. Rav, on his own, would have deserved to have the miracle that he would be the only person not to be infected by this contagious plague. They didn't need Rav's zuchus for that. That Rav, so to say, would have done okay on his own. El Mishum HaOgar, there was a certain person over there who was a tzaddik. And in his zuchus, he wouldn't have merited on his own to have the miracle just occurred for him. So in order to save him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the whole city be saved. What was this person's zuchus? The Shail Mora Uzvila. He would go and lend out, Mora is a shovel, and Zavila is another type of a shovel, Likvura, to help people get buried. He was the local Chevra Chedisha. So therefore, it's Mida Keneged Mida, Rashi says, that since he buried people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that his shtot, his neighborhood, nobody died. Now again, on his own, he wasn't great enough that only he shouldn't die, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle that nobody in that neighborhood died. Another similar story, Bedor Karet, again, in the city of Dor Karet, Havadaleka, there was a fire, and Ubishivuse, the Rav Huna, lo havas delekta. And in Rav Huna's neighborhood, there was no fire. Everybody thought, again, oh, it must be because of the zchus of Rav Huna. So, Avim, no, it's zchus of the Rav Huna, the Nafish. It must be the Rav Huna is so great that he protected the whole neighborhood. And the Gemara gives the same terrace as before. It's chazal b'chilma. It came to them all in a dream that it wasn't Rav Huna. Rav Huna would have married it alone, on his own, to be saved. Hai zutrale le Rav Huna. Rav Huna didn't need this miracle to happen for everybody else. He was so great, it could have been a miracle just for him alone. And therefore, El Mishum HaYisra, there was a certain woman over there. What did she do? She, again, was great, but not great enough to merit that only she shouldn't die, and Rav Huna, obviously. But in order to save her, he had to save the whole neighborhood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to save the whole neighborhood. And this woman, what did she do? Mida keneged mida, the mechamet tanura umeshayla shivuse. She would go heat up her oven and then lend it out to everybody. These people were so poor, they simply didn't have enough food, firewood for their food. So they had enough barely for food, but they didn't have the firewood, so she would heat up her oven and say, anybody needs to cook in it, go and cook in it. And therefore, Mida keneged mida, she did a chesed with fire, so they were saved in that neighborhood from fire. Mark continues with another story. Amar Leila Rav Yehuda, Asu Kamse, the Torah Yehuda, Ay, 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 Kamse, the locusts, the grasshoppers are coming. So therefore, Rav Yehuda was Gazar Tanis, so he said, we all better fast, Masriyin. They said to him, Amale, Lokom Masada, why are we declaring a fast? Nothing's damaged yet. The locusts are coming, but nothing is damaged. Why are we declaring a fast? So Amalus, he told all the people, Zavda, Aisubadayu, do they come with their bags? Do they come with their packages? Do they come with food? So what are they going to do? They got to eat. So they're going to eat our crops. So therefore, we better declare a fast right now before they eat all our crops, because they didn't come with their brown paper bags with their lunch. They're going to eat our food. They told Rav Yehuda, Ika motzno bechaziri. Another time they told him that the pigs are dying of some sort of a plague. All the pigs are dying. So gozer tanitza. So he also said, v'gozer tainis. So the Gemara asks, Neimo kasav Rav Yehuda, maka mishulachas mimin echad mishulachas mikol haminim? Is this what Rav Yehuda is teaching us? That if a plague comes on one species, it can jump to another species, right? We have this all the concern right now with COVID, that the virus started off in one species, whatever it was, and jumped to humans. And we're always concerned that you'll have swine flu jumping from one species to another. So many use this, and when they were talking about the swine flu, they said, oh, Gemara over here. So is it possible that swine flu could come and jump in to become a human flu? So Gemara says, no. In general, no. Low. Shiny chaziri, but pigs are different. Swine flu could come and jump. That the intestines of the pigs are similar to the intestines of humans, and therefore we have to be concerned that there's a plague amongst the pigs, that could jump species, so to say, because we're so similar, and attack the humans. And in fact, there are many examples where pigs are similar to humans. The original insulin was derived from pork insulin, and porcine valves were pig valves that are used in people. There's still people that have porcine valves inside of them before they now have the mechanical valves and other types of valves. If something's wrong with their heart valves, so they were put in a pig valve. because immunologically they're somewhat the same. So again, we see this Gemara is carried out in practice in modern times. Another story. In the city of Bechazoi, there is unfortunately a terrible plague, and people are dying. So Gaza Tanitza, he declared a tainis. We says, wait a second, we live far away from Bechazoi. Why are you declaring a tainis for us? So Amar, he said to them, what we all know well, too well. Lake Amavra, Hocha de Posiklei, is there a river, or others say, is there a bridge that will prevent them from coming across? In other words, things spread. We see this in our time very, very well, that you could have a plague in the southern part of Africa, and all of a sudden, a day later, the plague can be all over the world. So this is unfortunately very, very recognizable in our day. They said to Rav Nachman a similar story. They told Rav Nachman, who lived in Babel, that there's a plague Nebuch in Eretz Yisrael, there's a death going on in Eretz Yisrael, so Gaza Tanitza. He was Gaza Tanis in Babel. Again, why? So Amar, he said, im gevira loka, if the gevira, which is the major woman, as Rashi Tosfos points out, this is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, the gevira is the great lady. If the great matron is stricken, so shivcha lokoshkein, so certainly Bava, which is referred to as the shivcha to Eretz Yisrael, certainly we should be concerned. Taimo de gevira v'shivcha, this seems to imply that it's only because it was Eretz Yisrael versus Bava. But what about ha shivcha v'shivcha, was two places inside Bavel? Lo, then maybe he wouldn't be saying this. But we just had a moment ago, they told Shmua that there was a death in a neighboring city, Bechuzai, and Gaza Tanitza, and he lived in Ardai, and nevertheless he was declaring that they should have a Tainis. So again, the Gemara says, no, shiny hossam, that's different. Because Kiva de Iko Sharyasa de Levi the Asya Bade. Because again, there were caravans going back and forth from Bechuzai to Naradai, and therefore, again, the travel routes are going to spread disease, as we only know too well today. One last story, and this is again another fascinating story about a certain doctor. He's a phlebotomist. In those days, the doctors were phlebotomists. That was their main form of therapy. We unfortunately know that that's not really such a great therapy. Probably George Washington was killed by his doctors because they kept on phlebotomizing him, and they eventually bled him to death. So we don't believe in regular routine phlebotomies, but this is certainly the state of the art in the times of the Gemara. And Abba Umna was Abba, who was a doctor, who was a phlebotomist. Umna means he was an artisan, and he would draw blood, so he was a doctor. Abba Osilei Shloma Mimisip the Rikio Koyoma, and he was such a great tzaddik that he would receive a Shalom Aleichem every day from Shemayim, greeting him. As opposed to Abaya only got it Komali Yom the Shabbos. He only got it every Erev Shabbos. On Friday, they would greet him from Shemayim, and Rava Komali Yom Kippur. He only got it once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, so we'll eventually get to Rava was upset or saddened that he didn't get it as often as Abaya. But first we start off with Abaya, who was upset. How come Abba Umna gets greetings every day, a Shalom Aleichem from Shemayim every day? And I, the Rosh Yeshiva, only get it once a week. What does Abba Umna do that he's deserving of such great merit? So again, Abaya was saddened. Have a kohol shodaite. The Abaya was upset. Mishum da Abba Umna. What great chesed did he do that I don't do? So I'm related. They told Abaya, it's not your fault. You're not a doctor. And because he's a doctor, because he's a phlebotomist, he's able to do tremendous chasodim that you just aren't capable of doing. What did he do that was so great? So Gemara says, the chihava ovid milso, when he would go do his procedure, the phlebotomy of drawing the blood, he would separate the men and the women for tzniyas purposes, Rashi says. This levusha, this mekarna, and he had a special gown that had a hole in it that he would be able to go put his instruments in to go draw the blood. So it had a hole in the sleeve, and the habas bezia kikusilta, and it had a hole in the sleeve over here that he could put in the instruments that he would use to go and draw the blood. And he habas asile itza, and when a woman would come, so he wouldn't have to address her totally, he wouldn't have to see her full arm, he could just give her this long sleeve shirt that had a hole in it and go do the phlebotomy in the area where he had to without exposing her entire body. So when a woman came, have a mabushal, he would put her on this gown, and he didn't have to look at her entire arm, never mind her whole body. So therefore, this was a very tzniyistic way for him to act. Likewise, another tzniyist thing that he did, he had a special room that was right next to his office where the people would pay for his services. So the shadi bei pshite the shokel, and the patients would go pay him over there. He had a box over there, and they would put the money into the box. Now the islay, whoever had the financial means to go pay for his services, shadi bei would put the money in the box. However, the last lay, if somebody nebuch was a poor person, They didn't have to put any money in the box. Nobody was watching. The lo mitzvah, and they wouldn't be embarrassed. They could get treated without having to pay. So he was a Baal Chesed par excellence in that he gave his services for free for those that couldn't afford it. Likewise, he had the Yisram Eli Tzuvim Eli Banim. There was a young Talmud Chacham that would come to see him. He wouldn't charge him. Agro Mine Lo Shakel. He would not take money from him. Before Hashem explained, if they tried to pay me, he would say, I'm not going to treat you if you pay me. Ubasu Dekoy, and after he treated them and they would get ready to go, Yov Lipshita, he would pay them in order that they should go. Because often they were poor, these Talmid Chacham, and they wouldn't go and have the necessary food that you had to have after the phlebotomy. Vamalei, Zil Bri Nafshach. Go and buy food. Go take care of yourself in order that you should stay healthy. So this is what they told him in Shemayim. This is what they told Abai, how great this Abba Umna was. So Abba Umna was a tremendous Baal Chesed. Abai wanted to check him out. Yom Echad, Shadr Abai, Zugad Rabban Lamed Dekei. So Abai sent two Talmid Chacham to go check him out. Is he the real deal? So they went to him, and Abba Umna sat them down, v'yochlinu, and he gave them food, v'yashkinu, he gave them drink, and umochlu bistarke belelya, and he gave them a nice, comfortable bed with nice covers to sleep on. Kipel tachteim tachshite tzemer. Rashi says he folded underneath them these beautiful wool garments, lishom behem, in order that they should be able to sleep on them. We turn to Chav Bezom and Aleph. Let's start for the next morning. They get up and they steal them. Karchinu v'shaklinu. They wrap them around themselves and they stole them. Now, why is this not a problem of stealing? You're not allowed to steal even for a good purpose. So the answer was that they borrowed them. They had the right to go and take them, but they didn't get any personal benefit from it, so there was no idea over here that they actually stole them. So they had the halachic right to go take them. That's one of the ways that Farshim answered. There are other ways as well, but we're running out of time, so I'll just go weiter. The Kamu v'Nafku le'elushuka, and they went to the marketplace, Vashchinu, and they found Abba Umna over there. And they asked him, how much would you like to buy these beautiful covers from us, which they stole from him? Armulei, l'shaimei, ma'ar, hechi shavu. Would you like to buy them from us? Evaluate them, and how much would you pay for them? Amalus, he said, okay, hachi v'hachi, this is how much I pay for them. Now, they suspected that maybe he was trying to rook them. So Amulei, the Dilma Shavu Tvei, maybe they're worth a lot more than that. Why are you only offering us $100 for them? Maybe they're worth $1,000. So Amalu, he told him, no, v'hachi shaklinu. I bought them for that amount of money, so I'm telling you, that's what they're worth. So Amulei, didachninu. So now they told him, these are yours, v'shaklinu minoch, and we took them from you. And Amulei, they said to him, v'matus minoch, we beg of you, v'mai chashaditino, when you saw us wearing your covers, what were you thinking? So Amalu, we told them, Amina, I said to myself, you must have come pidyon shvuyim, and iklu l'rabbana. You were coming on behalf of doing pidyon shvuyim, and that's why you came to me. V'chsiful l'memeli, but you were embarrassed to tell me. Some of the Mepharshim explained, they were embarrassed to tell him because it was their relatives. So therefore, they were embarrassed to tell him. So therefore, I'm giving you this money. I had no problem giving you the money. Amalu, so he said, hashta nishklinumar. Okay, so now take it back. Okay, we see that you passed the test with flying colors. So I'm a little. So he said to him, sorry. As soon as I saw you with them, askatinu midatoi litztaka. I took them out of my mind, and I said, I'm donating the litztaka. I assumed you were using them for pidyon shvuyim, so I already gave them to you. They're no longer mine. They're yours. Use them for litztaka. Now, that's why Abaya now understood why you shouldn't be saddened that Abba Umna was so great. Now, have a kokosho daiti, the Rava, Bishuvah Abaya. Now, Rava only, so to say, got Shalom Aleichem every Erev Yom Kippur. Abaya got it every week. So, Rava felt bad. What am I not doing that Abaya is doing? So, Amulei, they said to him, Mistayach, it must be the Kol Magnis Akula Krocha. You are protecting the whole city, and that's why your merit, so to say, is dissipated. Abaya is really just for himself. So, therefore, you are greater than Abaya in some ways. We possibly like Rava over Abaya, except for the Al Kagan, and you are protecting those cities, so therefore your Zuchusim, so to say, are spread out over the whole city, so you only get Shalom Aleichem every Erev Yom Kippur. And therefore, this is in fact why you shouldn't feel distressed that Abaya seems to be getting more than you. You also have great, great merit. I'll just leave with one last kasha that I saw the Mepharshim bring down. So Rava, it says also, we just learned not that long ago, that he fasted 2 days for Yom Kippur. Because Sfeika Dioma. So from our story, he always got Shalom Aleichem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Shemayim, every Yom Kippur. So why did he fast? He should know which day it was. So greatness of Rava. Rava felt, in case maybe it was the day before when I was supposed to get the Shalom Aleichem, and my calendar was off by 1 day, so it's this year I didn't deserve to get it. So therefore he fasted 2 days, because maybe he thought this was the day that I was supposed to get it, and only the next day when he got it. Alternatively, he says, even today, nowadays, our calendar, we know exactly when Yom Tov is. We still do Sveika the Yoma in 2 days. Nobody else does it for Yom Kippur because it's too dangerous. But for him, he was machmir himself and he held 2 days of Kippur. Even though he got to Shalom Aleichem, he still fasted the extra day. There's so much more to say. These stories are so fantastic, but we've run out of time. I've gone over time even. I hope everybody enjoys these stories. And Mirtz Hashem, fascinating stories the rest of this parak. Have a wonderful day.